When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Three great words, free fries Friday, especially when they're used in that exact order. Get a free medium fries with $1 minimum purchase.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Valid one time on Fridays at participating McDonald's through 12/31/24. Excludes tax, must update rewards.
Hey, this is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Thursday, June 29th. Mike Wright, the fantasy hitman himself, in the building. Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Jason, still head bobbing.
I liked my intro. It was like, Mike, the fantasy hitman, right? He's here in the building. Jason's here, too.
Yeah. And Jason.
Yeah. Hey, guys, don't worry about me, okay? You move on. Just talk a little bit more about Mike.
All of your nicknames, they're there for a day or two.
Yeah.
And they're gone. I could have gone...
The Squatch.
The Quatch is back, or whatever it was.
Big shimmy.
Yeah.
Double stuff.
Yeah.
Big gravy.
Nothing's really a big gravy. Yeah. That's more, isn't that around here?
Yeah, that's foosball.
I mean, if you have something, Mike named himself 10 years ago, so.
I was thinking about this, and I thought of a nickname that I wanted. Oh. Like, and I want to take it.
This is big news.
Completely, forever. The Fantasy Hitman. What do you think? I think I would like that.
You're in.
Yeah. So Jason, so you're the fantasy
both
hitman.
The fantasy
right.
hitman.
Yeah, I don't have to take it from you, Mike.
Huh. We'll just share it?
Yeah.
It's a different...
I just want some copyright allowance.
It's like boxing. I mean, so many boxers have, you know, like...
The people's chant.
Yeah, or like... Sweetness, I was thinking of Walter Payton, but there's plenty of guys in boxing who have the same nickname.
Yeah, why don't you start the intro over and give us both what we deserve now?
I don't know if I'm supporting this. I might go back to Quatch.
Okay.
Whether you like it or not.
If we do that, Jason, then we can be the fantasy hit men.
Ooh, together.
When we're in the same room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I like that. Welcome into the show. We've got a good quick question for you today. Not a lot of news to talk about. Kind of a lull when it comes to, I mean,
yeah.
You can only talk about hypothetical Dalvin Cook destinations and DeAndre Hopkins trying to generate more interest. Money from other teams so many times. So we'll just wait for that news to break. But mailbag on the show today, best ball breakdown. We do have a couple of announcements. One, it's big. Saturday, the draft analyzer is out. It'll be available.
It is. I mean, we've upgraded it every year, but it's awesome. Like, you know, we're not only testing it, but using it,
Jason?
On our own teams. You can, if you've done any drafts, whether you do a mock draft, you could put it in manually, or whether you've got a league that's a dynasty league and it's done, or you do a new draft, now we're in draft season, you can import your rosters from Sleeper, ESPN, or Yahoo, or put them in manually, and it will grade your team. It'll give you what we think, you know, what is the quality of this roster. It'll talk about your strengths, your weaknesses. It'll break it down by position. It'll even tell you which one of us three ballers likes your team the most.
On how we have players ranked.
I always find interesting because, and I love this validation in the tool, but every single time that Mike or myself or Andy uses this tool, it's always ourself. I'm like, oh, Jason likes my team the best because, yeah.
Yes.
And it's great.
Thank goodness.
No personal biases at all. It's just facts.
Yeah, I mean, we did different ways to play. So that's available on Saturday with the UDK Plus. You can get the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. And if you have the regular UDK and you want to upgrade so you can access it, very easy to do from your account page. The Dynasty Podcast.
Oh, baby.
Mike tells me yesterday's episode was top 10.
It was excellent. We talked about the top 10 Dynasty startup tips. We talked about back in the day when you would read books to try and get a free Pizza Hut pizza.
I do remember
and
it. Yeah.
Then I'm going to dap myself up. I came up with a very good analogy for drafting wide receivers and running backs for your Dynasty startup that you don't want to miss.
Okay. Check it out, the Dynasty Podcast, once a week. Borg Betts and then one of us on the show. Mike was on yesterday's episode. You can find us on Twitter at the FF Ballers. You guys ready for the quick question?
Let's go.
Brooks tells me we have a drop for it.
Ooh. Stack attack.
And we had a drop
for it.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Favorite quarterback wide receiver stack to target based on their current average draft position?
I think the based on current average draft position is very important this year because of the big three awesome quarterbacks last year. If you want one of those great quarterbacks who obviously, like, who wouldn't want a Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs stack or a Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes stack or A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts? Like, yeah, those are great. They're going to cost you at least two of your first three picks.
It might be impossible.
Your first two picks.
Yeah, you might not actually be able to execute on that just because of how high
it is. It is very difficult. So I went with what I have the most of. It's a stack that is, to me, just about the easiest to pull off, and that is the Cooper Kupp Matthew Stafford stack, because Cooper Kupp is someone that I'm willing to take at the 102. I don't think it's crazy to take him at the 101, but I've gotten him at the 109.
You, as in, like, McCaffrey's this locked in?
Yes, McCaffrey to me is the 101, but and I would take Justin Jefferson in some leagues or Chase. You know, there's arguments to be made, but my point is Kupp is deserving of being the number one pick, but you can sometimes get him late in the first round, usually the middle of the first round, and so there's a wide area to grab him depending on where you are drafting. And then Stafford is free. Well, Stafford is so easy to grab. You can grab him a little ahead of ADP if you've got Kupp and complete that stack.
That's the, I think, more interesting point in that stack, is like taking the shot on Stafford because of where he's ranked. I mean, quarterback 24 right now, so it is a choice to opt into that stack versus taking a shot on another quarterback later in the draft. But I think we've been saying it, I'll continue to say it until we have a reason not to. Don't underestimate, you know, Mike brought up Van Jefferson as a value candidate on the sleeper episode.
And we haven't really mentioned his name, but Puka.
Yeah.
Kyle, fifth round pick? I don't know. I remember it off the top of my head.
Round pick.
Yeah, fifth rounder.
Puka Nacau.
So he's been picking up some buzz. Wow. That was another thing we talked about in the Dynasty podcast.
Puka and Tutu.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's two of your wide receivers.
Teammates.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's been a noticeable, at least to me, I don't know if you guys have kind of perceived this, but a in the time period of let's elevate, let's puff piece every new player on our team, there's been some high draft capital rookies who I've not heard a single thing about. Now, training camp hasn't started, but you had rookie camps, you had all these things, you had opportunities for these beat reporters to come out and just pump the jets for these players. But like Jaden Reed of the Packers, you heard anything about him?
Not
because I'm hearing about Romeo Dobbs. Yeah. So the fact that Puka in the fifth round is getting some steam here as a possible starter for this team, he is a player that you need to keep an eye on now.
Yeah, one other rookie wide receiver that's had that is Michael Wilson out of Arizona. In terms of actually, you know, when you talk about one
generating some buzz.
Generating some buzz. I'm going to follow Jason's stack selection because I think it's in the same vein in a lot of ways.
I like it.
And it's the Tyreek Hill Tua Tagovailoa stack, specifically because you talked about Kupp. He could go as high as two or three if you wanted to. Tyreek's in that category just as much as Cooper Kupp is. And, you know, we're looking at average draft position and the way that the first round is kind of happening right now. We were looking at our rankings, right? And mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs is our consensus number three running back. But he's not. It's not like he's ranked 3-3-3 among us. It's just that the group beyond basically CMC and Eckler, we have all over the map. I mean, I think your number two running back, Derrick Henry, Mike,
is my number 10.
Yeah. So the variation between the running backs means that you don't have this like automatic set in stone order that the running backs are going to go. And here you have wide receivers like Chase, Jefferson, Cup, and Tyreek. And you probably put Diggs in that category, but like, you know what you're getting with those guys. And so if you're going to go with the known commodity in Tyreek Hill, then Tua sitting there, like, I know it from years past with Mahomes, but like when you stack Tyreek with a quarterback,
yeah,
good things happen on that week. But for those two, you don't lose those weeks. And so Tua is really you're taking a gamble with injury, the concussions. At this point, I'm moving forward with Tua, not presuming another concussion, but looking at him like a value in the draft because he's going near the ninth round. And I'll figure it out if he goes down.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that, you know, where Tyreek goes, you know, you are going to be deciding between someone like Tyreek and Stephon Diggs or maybe even Ja'Marr Chase. And the counterpart quarterbacks are going to cost a lot more for those other guys than they do for Tua. And that means not only does it cost you more to complete the stack, but also lower, much, much lower probability that you can complete the stack.
And yeah, you don't want to, again, it might be worth talking, Mike, about general stack philosophy. This is our favorite quarterback wide receiver stack to target at current ADP, but we're not saying you always go into your draft
right
targeting a stack, right?
Yeah, you don't do that. And then did you guys catch the Josh Jacobs recent?
And will I be happy or sad to hear it, Mike, as a dynasty manager of Josh Jacobs?
The word holdout has
cool
surfaced.
Right on. Great. And how many fantasy points do the holdouts produce for my team?
Per week, I believe it's zero.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right around there. We're still a ways off from that. But
I mean, if you want to postmortem on the dynasty trade I made and you just want to listen to how things might not go perfectly, because we look, you have to take gambles in dynasty.
Sure.
You make attempts to
make calculated gambles.
And so I moved Dalvin Cook this offseason before this all happened.
Which that seems like a home run.
But I also moved Ramondre Stevenson. I did it pre-draft, and I moved those two players to get Josh Jacobs. And there were other pieces, but Josh Jacobs and I think Raheem Mostert came over and Jeff Wilson. And right now, Ramondre made it through unscathed. I mean, he looks like he is locked and loaded, ready to go.
Or Dalvin Cook ends up on the Patriots, and you pulled off an ultimate heist.
Well, yeah, or he ends up in Miami and Jeff Wilson and Mostert disappear. I mean, these are the hold-your-breath moments of dynasty leagues.
But the quote was
let's hear
from
it.
Pelissero. Josh Jacobs, at this point, if there's not a long-term deal, I don't anticipate Jacobs being there at the start of training camp, and I don't know that he shows up week one.
Well, I'm going to choose.
Still a long ways away.
To not believe that.
We're a long ways away.
That's my choice.
But that's not great to hear. But back, so
they lose a lot of money though in the modern day
holdout,
right? And he's on a franchise tag, paying him the big bucks. So and Saquon it'll be hard to watch them. Like, how long was Gordon out when he actually did it? Gordon,
at least a month.
Yeah, I think it was. I want to say 6 weeks. Mike's got a better memory than I do.
Six sounds
about
right.
But I do know that in the new collective bargaining agreement, it is much more difficult. You know, you used to have holdouts all the time, but you lose a lot of money when you hold out right now. And for a running back to lose money,
we're just going to hope he doesn't want to do training camp. That's what we're going to hope.
Right.
Yeah.
Who wants to do training camp?
Who wants to do training camp?
Practice?
All right, Mike, you've got a stack for us.
Also, four games. So,
four. Okay.
Congratulations to me. My stack, it is a little bit more difficult to pull off because of ADP. You would need something to bounce.
It's a back-to-back round stack, right?
It would have to bounce it right in your direction. But I love the value of Keenan Allen right now as the wide receiver 17 going in the fourth round. And I think we're all in on Justin Herbert this year, having a bounce back, having Kellen Moore come in and be his offensive coordinator, having Quentin Johnston be the third wide receiver instead of the other guys that they've had to rely on, or even the wide receiver two as Keenan Allen and Mike Williams go in and out of the lineup. But Herbert, to me, of the guys that are not, you know, we talked about the big three. Justin Herbert, to me, is the one who is the least surprising if he ends up making the jump back to being a truly elite difference maker. So that's why I like him, and I like that stack. Like Stafford could get in there. Tua definitely could. We had a stretch there where it looked like Tua was primed to be a top five quarterback or so. But I think that Herbert can make the jump back up there and go on with Keenan Allen, who was just an absolute target machine once he got back on the field. I think that continues, and we get at least one more year of top-tier Keenan.
And before we move on from our favorite stacks, I think, Andy, you wanted to talk about stacking in general so that the Foot Clan can know, like, should we stack? Do we need to stack? Do we have to stack? And there are, you know, you can win fantasy a number of different ways. You want to go early round this or late round that, you can win both ways. You want zero RB, heavy RB, you can win both ways. But Matt DeSorbo, one of our great writers, a math wizard, did this incredible study on stacking.
I taught him everything he knows.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You did, Andy.
Thank you.
Take that, Matt.
Wait.
Andy.
He's insulted.
Just listen, Andy did this great study.
Thank you.
On stacking. And it was because in best ball, it's pretty much widely accepted. You have to have like massive explosions.
Just verbally communicated. DeSorbo was just more like a stenographer.
Exactly what happened. And so when I read Andy's words via Matt DeSorbo, what it was is it really did indicate that even in redraft leagues, even if the players score the exact same amount of points, the fact that the variation comes with higher outputs together, it is actually a value in redraft to have a stack. Now, that does not mean that you reach for these players.
Yeah,
you don't go and take
jack
a quarterback.
Jackknife it into your draft strategy.
Not at all. You don't reach a round or two ahead of ADP. You don't force the issue and grab the stack because stacks are supposed to be good. But it's worth knowing that when you're staring down two quarterbacks and they're about the same average draft position, and you've got their wide receiver one of those two guys, that's the difference maker. Grab your stack.
Well, and let me paint a different scenario, because, Mike, you mentioned that Herbert would be one of those guys that you're not surprised pops into the top three, I would imagine. The other name there is Lamar Jackson to me.
Yes.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Lamar Jackson. Now, the stack for Lamar, if it's not Mark Andrews, It is Mark Andrews. But if you are trying to take a shot, what I'm saying is, if you have Lamar early,
sure,
and then you're late and you're doing the Rashad Bateman, Beckham, Zay Flowers decision making versus somebody in the same tier in the same eighth round, you might go with the player that has that correlation just for that potential upside. And let me, something we buried at the beginning, I love stacking. From a fun perspective, I enjoy it when my team is built that way. Mike made a dynasty trade this offseason very much predicated on, I think, in part, the enjoyment of combining. I mean, you had Justin Fields. You made a move to get Joe Burrow because you had Jamar Chase. It is a very fun way to play fantasy. So when you have that opportunity, and then you have the math that I obviously did, and DeSorbo kind of got out there,
right?
And you have that math to back up its upside, it can be a really attractive draft strategy if you just don't force it.
Do you think it is rude that DeSorbo's name is on that article to
Andy? To me, it's like a pseudonym.
Okay. All right. So
Okay.
It's a pseudonym, but it's a real person.
Right. I love
it. It's not a created fictional alter ego of me. It's just this other guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a pseudonym of Andy.
It's a Harvard educated other guy.
Yeah.
My pseudonym.
Yes.
As I would say.
Matt DeSorbo.
Yeah. All right, so anything else you guys want to touch on there in the stack discussion? All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, personally, how to make better habits in my life, there's a lot of benefit. And you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not, but our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
Let me just say, I love you, Matt DeSorbo.
Yeah.
What a talent.
Yeah. And welcome to the team, his brother.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And a bunch of new writers. Check him out. Make sure you follow him on Twitter.
Five new writers
joining the team, joining the family.
And that's a competitive...
They're joining the Hitmen.
Oh, gosh. See, the only comfort I have from this whole like bit is that your nickname's last a day.
Right,
and then we move on.
Exactly.
So this show, I'll
this
have
show,
it.
I'm the fantasy hitman, and next show I'll be something different.
It's kind of a pseudonym, I would say.
Right, exactly.
We might need a Jason nickname shirt.
Oh, that's just all my nicknames. Yes,
I mean, we have all, like, every year we come
it's
out
just
with
his face with, in the middle with yeah. all of the nicknames.
I'm gonna make a note.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for the mailbag?
Let's go.
Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Yeah.
Jason nickname shirt. All right. Hopping into the mailbag. We have best ball breakdown coming up as well. If you have a question for the show, you can head to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click that submit a question button, or you can dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. Let's jump into a voicemail question.
Hey, ballers. Huge fan of the show. Just wondering about Jerick McKinnon with the Chiefs. They did re-sign him, and yet he seems like he's not even being drafted in redraft mock drafts. So just wondering if you should try to pick him up as one of your last picks on your bench, or maybe wait and see if he's still on waivers. Thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah, so the question is, you know, relevance of Jerick McKinnon after the strong finish to last year. I agree with the caller. Like, he has not been talked about enough this offseason. It does seem to me like, knowing what the Chiefs do, Andy Reid, confidence levels at running back, this is probably a big fantasy blind spot. Because when you're coming off a title that he played a huge role in, and teams play the players they trust, they brought him back, you know, I don't think consistency is something you're going to be able to look at from maybe any of the running backs in Kansas City. Jason's brought it up repeatedly. They throw so much around the goal line. So that kind of like automatic situation is gone. And, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be back.
That is, to me, the most interesting point for Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon's been pretty valuable 2 years in a row. Towards the end of last year, he was unbelievable. And it was in the passing game around the goal line receiving touchdowns. In fact, his last 16 games, he had a 17-game pace of 22 receiving touchdowns, which obviously is impossible for anyone, let alone a running back. But that stretch of games, weeks 13 through 18, Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't there. He played through, and then I think he was out starting week 12.
Yes.
So it correlated exactly when Clyde was gone where Jerick McKinnon went from a piece of the offense to an important piece of the offense.
RB1, RB21, RB6 in the playoffs. In fact, an article on ESPN talking about some of the players standing out at each camp mentioned another running back in Kansas City, Denarik Prince.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a crowded backfield. But he was successful, right? Like, this was a success. It wasn't a de facto, oh, man, we wish Clyde was in there, and he would have been. Like, Clyde hasn't been that level of a success. So, depending how it shakes out, I would take a late-round flyer on Jerick for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally less bullish. If this is underdog best ball where you're going 18 rounds, absolutely he should be drafted. But if you're talking about your home leagues, your redraft leagues, I think there's probably better options because Pacheco should be back. He had off-season surgery. I think it was his ankle, but he should be back. Clyde should be back. The new rookie coming in. And they waited to sign Jerick McKinnon until after the NFL draft. I think they see value in him, but he wasn't like necessarily a guaranteed part of their plans. I believe they wanted Jahmyr Gibbs, and when they didn't get him, they're like, okay, McKinnon, you're back.
I mentioned on a recent show talking about we were talking about Austin Eckler overperforming at touchdowns, how running backs usually have a rushing touchdown for about every 135 rushing yards or so. Well, if you want to look at that for receiving yards, a running back, looking at the entirety of the position, they score a touchdown on about every 189 receiving yards. Last year, Jerick McKinnon had 512 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. That puts his touchdown scoring pace compared to average at a 331%.
I think it's not a sustainable thing. I think I'm in on him.
Yeah?
I do.
At 31?
Well, like, are you?
I know that the trusted players on this team is a short list in the passing game. Let me give it to you. Travis Kelce, Jerick McKinnon. Like, you had Juju Smith-Schuster. He's departed. So you still have – so we're going to talk about Rashi Rice, and we're going to talk about Sky Moore. We're going to talk about the name I'm forgetting coming over from New York.
Kadarius Toney?
Well, no, but Trust and Kadarius Toney are not – corollary.
He came from
Richie
New York.
James.
Richie James.
Yep. Thank you, Kyle.
Marquez Valdez Scantling.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, we saw it with Damian Williams.
Yes.
If you have trust in the passing game with a player, I'm not saying that you guys are going to be wrong. I'm just saying I think I buy into the fact that he could be a player that you take at the end of your draft and you're starting by week two every week.
I can see the path because you saw it happen last year. But again, just highlighting the takeover for Jerick McKinnon happened basically identically when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was out, and Clyde had that role to start this year. You had 3 catches, 4, 5, and Clyde Edwards, his overproduction at the beginning of the year was all touchdowns as well. So I can see the path, and it's nothingness. You know, it's a really, really low opportunity cost pick, so
I guess it does. It does have to do with your confidence that Clyde will get work back in, and that there will be confidence. Like, I don't know. Is this guy fourth on the depth chart? Is he?
I don't
know. Two? I don't know that right now. And so another camp battle to watch.
I think Clyde will be worked back in. The problem for Clyde is not that he's a bad player. It's that the Chiefs set themselves up for the expectations of this is a first round running back, and then he wasn't. He didn't have the skill or the talent level to be a first-round running back, more like a third-round guy. So if they had drafted him in the third, I think everything...
We'd have a different perspective.
Everything on Clyde is completely changed.
I bet you wouldn't have him on your dynasty team.
Oh, no. I would have Jonathan Taylor on my team.
you're right. It'll be... the truth is that backfield is going to be messy. And that, you know, Jason, you haven't had a lot of confidence in Pacheco as a draft selection either because of the same reasons. So... this is a questionable decision, Brooks, on this next mailbag question. You allowed a question from a Twitter handle, Cabbage Farts.
I like it.
Who amongst us has not had cabbage farts?
I try to keep those to a minimum.
I mean,
due to not eating cabbage.
Oh, what? Oh, I love
You're
cabbage.
You're a big cabbage guy.
Oh, I love you. Cook that up.
Cooked cabbage is gross.
No. Oh, Hawaiian food?
Wait, so we've got one cabbage guy on the show? Oh. That could be your new nickname, Big Cabbage.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
He's the hitman.
Yeah, I'm the fantasy hitman.
I do have to find a new name now.
You're right. Big Cabbage?
Oh, you guys are wild.
Patch Kid?
Get that. Get the Hawaiian barbecue chicken on the cabbage with the broccoli.
Ooh, and then you end up with a Twitter handle like this.
Yeah, you get the farts.
Full PPR keeper question. Cooper Kupp in the third, Chris Olave in the seventh.
Ooh, interesting.
There's no way I'm not taking Kupp.
Yeah, Olave, it's now like...
If you had said Cooper Kupp in the first, Olave in the seventh, does it change?
Probably.
I think it changes then because
you could potentially still draft Cooper Kupp in the first with your first round pick that you retain.
I was going to go the other way. Like, how far back does Olave have to go?
I don't think there's a far enough back. If Chris Olave was there for a 16th rounder, I mean, the difference between a 7th and a 16th, the 7th isn't, you know, the players there, they're okay. You're going to have some hits, but you're going to have a lot of misses there. This is really about having the potential number one wide receiver in all of fantasy.
Yeah, Chris Olave.
A game breaker and getting him for a third round pick. So, it is definitely Cooper Kupp in the third.
Mike is bringing me perpetual life with his Chris Olave.
Oh, man.
Adoration.
I am in.
I mean.
I tried to get him in our dynasty league.
Did you?
I did. It didn't work.
Not get him.
I did not trade for him.
All right. okay. So we're all going Cooper Kupp there.
Yeah.
Couple of IR rules questions. YouTube question. How many IR spots should there be on a 12-team league?
Two.
Okay, two. Yeah.
Sometimes you just need
one.
Sometimes that's just the answer. YouTube question. Last year, one of my players was suspended, and I could not put him on IR. Your thoughts? That's how it works.
Yep, the NFL can't either.
A suspension is not an injury.
Right. That would be great if
I'm injured when they're suspended.
Like emotionally.
I'm emotionally hurt, and it hurts my team.
We've played on several different platforms, and we had a year where I think it was on NFL.
Oh, is that? One of the platforms.
And we could put IR, suspended players in the IR, and it felt gross.
Yeah, real dirty.
I mean, I did it.
For sure. If the platform lets you, you got
to
do it.
Yeah, you play to the rules that your platform has, but I don't think a suspended player should be able to put in a spot designed for someone who has sustained an injury.
And most leagues don't allow it, which means decisions on players like Alvin Kamara this offseason will become more complicated if we get clarity. If he's missing two games, three games, whatever it is, maybe it's none. But if he's missing time, your decision in the draft isn't just like, I get to wait. It's, do I get to wait and lose a bench spot? Mm-hmm. And the first few weeks of the year when you're picking up waiver wire players, you're taking flyers, you're costing yourself something.
That was the Hopkins decision last year.
Right, 6 weeks.
Is you had to carry him, and that was a long time. By week four, you're like, ugh.
Honestly, the
Hopkins, you're killing me.
If you're going to do it with a player suspended that long, just let somebody else carry him for about four of those weeks and then go and trade for them and pay the price for about two. All right. Question from Instagram at Roko says, thoughts on Adam Thielen for the upcoming season? I laugh because I expected to hear like a groan.
Yeah,
from
cabbage farts is what you would expect to hear in response to how we're feeling about basically 33-year-old Adam Thielen.
He got some quiche.
He got some quiche.
He got $14 million guaranteed.
Super happy for him.
Competition is nothing.
No, he very well might be the number one wide receiver for this team. I would expect him to be. I have him statted to be the number one wide receiver. And that's just not
over
that valuable.
Under, over under 800 yards.
Under.
Over under 700 yards.
Under.
I can say
like 10 yards and Mike will be like,
he will not be the number one. Jonathan Mingo will be the number one wide receiver on this team.
Wow, that's not going to happen.
I think Adam Thielen will be consistently targeted. If Adam Thielen goes out and does what he did last year, 70 for 716 and six.
He won't do that.
He won't do that?
No.
I have him.
There's got to be a bet here.
Yeah, if you're pro Thielen, you can find a bet. The Hitmen are on the other side.
The Hitmen.
We took a contract.
650 yards receiving?
I've got him under that. I've got him at 632.
Michael certainly be in on
receiving
this.
Yards. No. That's not the line. You don't get to move it all the way down to where I have him ranked. 700.
I don't feel 100% sure about
700 yards is not a good season, to be clear. For fantasy,
I'm aware.
If he gets 701, that's a bad season, and that's the line.
I'm excited for a spurt from Adam Thielen in the beginning of the year. I'm not as excited about the back half of the year where he has perennially disappeared. Let me see. Where, I gave him 788.
Okay, so 700.
And Chark is there,
690.
Right?
699, and I'll take it.
Oh, my gosh. We'll go 700.
Water bet.
I do not really want to be betting on Adam Thielen.
And yet you have done it.
I have done it. Also in my Dynasty League.
There it is.
The truth shall set you free.
There are bets you can make to be optimistic about an outcome you want.
Yeah, there are bets you can lose. Give yourself optimism and lose that money over the place.
They call those bets A-Robs.
Yeah.
You A-Rob yourself.
Yeah.
It's like a robbery.
Yep.
All right.
Who? You still got him?
Unfortunately. I believe I asked our league yesterday if they...
Yes, you did.
Over under 250 yards this year for A-Rob. I forget.
I think you can get over that.
He's on the Pittsburgh Steelers,
yeah,
everybody.
I forget. We've been talking a lot about Deontay Johnson,
uh-huh.
And I brought up the fact that they lost Chase Claypool, and I forget that
you should have
Al
given
Robinson
me 650. The underdog line for Thielen is 575.
Ooh, you
First
took
of all,
a bad bet.
Why would you pay a guy with that line $14 million guaranteed? I guess you have it to spend.
Because you don't have a choice.
Yeah, you don't have any wideouts.
And nobody wanted to come.
Allen Robinson's dynasty trade value is currently in dirty diaper range. That's about where.
Yeah, not even clean diapers.
Nobody even offered me one, and I was looking for one.
You wanted a dirty diaper.
I would rather have it.
Because then you could just throw that away, but you can't. Yeah. You don't know how to get rid of Allen Robinson.
I don't know how to get rid. I mean, I guess I could do the vindictive drop to waivers.
You should. But if you do that, you got to screen record.
Yeah, that's fair.
It would be a nice social experiment. I wonder.
Oh, he's getting picked up.
He will get picked up. But for how much fab? Over, under 15?
Oh, I assumed it would be for free.
Okay.
It'll be over 15. Someone always makes a mistake on Allen Robinson.
You're talking about a player that finished at 24 in week 2, 14 in week 6, and 17 in week 11?
Man.
His consistency rating across those three games was outstanding.
So he turned it on. He needed Baker Mayfield.
Oh my gosh, these numbers. 12 yards receiving, 7 yards receiving, 12 yards receiving, 24 yards receiving.
What's his snap count though? Probably didn't play hardly any.
We're going at an average of 91%.
It sucks.
How did that happen?
I don't know, man.
He got one of them invisibility cloaks once he ran the route.
Oh my gosh.
It's not like Cooper Kupp got hurt, right, and gave him an opportunity midseason?
Wow.
That didn't work out. I'm sorry, everybody. Dynasty team because I decided to put my money where my mouth was.
Kyle, he ranked 10th in routes run on the season? No.
Wow.
That's not possible.
No, through the first 6 weeks.
Oh, first he was 6 10th weeks. In routes okay.
Number one in end zone targets through the first 6 weeks.
Okay. Wow.
That's what made it so painful. Wow. The end zone targets were coming, and then they were going.
Yeah. Brutal. Next question.
Brooks, we got time for another one?
Yeah, let's got one more.
Instagram question from Mr. Fantastic FFB. Is James Cook a mega sleeper, or will Damian Harris be too involved? I think he's a mega sleeper.
Really?
I absolutely do.
I do too, but I was sure you were on the other side.
We both have him ranked significantly higher than Mike does. I think James Cook can run away with the job. If you live in the world that you do, Jason, where you believe that Devon Achane, despite his stature, can be a predominant, valuable fantasy asset in the AFC East on a team with other backs, you have to believe in the world where James Cook can do that too.
And I do. Now, James Cook does not have the juice that Achane has.
Oh, he's got juice, baby.
He does. I mean, last year, he had a pretty good season. He averaged 5.7 yards per carry, had a lot of explosive runs. He obviously was behind Devin Singletary, and it wasn't until the end of the season where you started to see him get more involved, get 43% of the snaps. Because the first part of the year, I mean, you're talking about a guy who wasn't really playing. 3% of snaps, 14% of snaps, 5% of snaps. He wasn't involved, and he was a rookie. But what you saw on film, when given the opportunity, was a lot of explosive plays. I could see two things happening this year. I could see Damian Harris, who I believe is just a really good running back.
Yeah, I think he's good.
He's just a solid veteran running back. I could see him being the number one for this team the way Devin Singletary was, and then they kind of use James Cook as that change of pace, speedster, smaller back, kind of like they did at the end of last year. If that happens, neither one are going to be valuable. Or James Cook is the guy that they drafted in the second round to be their starter, and they brought in Damian Harris to back him up. If that happens and they give James Cook the opportunity, I think he's going to crush. I think he's going to be really, really electric. You know, you're not going to be able to stack the box against him, and if you give him a lane, he can be gone.
Well, and he's very, very good at finding a place to be as a check down for Josh Allen. I think that is the secret sauce that will get him and keep him on the field. How productive that is if you're great at that between the 20s and you don't get to score touchdowns, that is a problem. Do you think Devin Singletary or Damian Harris is a better running back?
Devin Singletary.
Yeah, so pretty I think that too. I think Singletary's a little bit better. I think they're both going to play that role fine, but yeah, mega sleeper for me, absolutely.
And it hasn't been very valuable. Like Singletary would have his games every once in a while, but
it hasn't.
Since 2018, as a team, Bills running backs have ranked 26th, 23rd, 30th, 30th, 31st in total fantasy points. Like there hasn't been any level of consistency. I have it ranked that. I mean, it was not surprising at all to see the Bills immediately scoop up Damian Harris, who they played twice a year for a few years, and Damian Harris made them look foolish on multiple occasions.
Was he ever active on those games?
Harris?
No. Wondering how he was just banged up so often.
Yeah, which that's fair, but I think that Harris is very good, and he profiles more as the 1A, and I think James Cook is the secondary option.
Yeah, you have some teams that are going to be very good in the AFC East whose running back rooms right now are not. I mean, these two players are the 8th and 10th round, Damian Harris and James Cook. They're both potential values. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Miami. We haven't got through a mock draft where their current starter isn't maybe not drafted.
Stop saying that. Jeff Wilson is not their
starter. No, Raheem Mostert is their starter.
Nope.
A-chain. I mean, yes, he is.
Nope. It's A-chain.
Jeff Wilson is
You don't need A-chain to be the depth chart starter to do everything you think he can do.
That is true. But by midseason, he'll be the starter, unless Dalvin Cook signs.
Which, that's what I mean. And then Dalvin Cook could also go to New York. Which you've probably got incantations and candles and all sorts of prayers.
I didn't even hear what you said because I blocked that out so hard.
You don't even
respond.
I have
that muted in real life.
Yeah, that's just it didn't show up on my timeline in life.
All right, let's move on.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
All right, every week right now we are jumping into Best Ball Breakdown, taking a look at some different topics in best ball, and we wanted to dive into a specific round, a little bit of a ADP price check, look at round 5 in best ball drafts, and you know you've kind of got your studs in the first 4 rounds. Roster construction is taking form. What are you looking for from picks 49 to 60, that fifth round? Got some names out there that, you know, the current ADP, Christian Kirk, Justin Fields, Hawkinson, Mixon, Ayuk, Walker, Aaron Jones, Herbert, Godwin, Dobbins, Hollywood, Kittle. That's the names that are in that range right now. So what is the target and what does your exposure look like to those names?
So I'll jump in first. My target is going to depend a little bit upon my roster construction. In this range, I'm usually taking another running back or wide receiver. More often than not, a wide receiver, just depending on how my team is built. If I grabbed two running backs early, then I'm focused on wide receivers here. If not, then I'll go running back. But when I look at my exposure, there's two players I really like and one player I have a lot of in this range. The player I have a lot of is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is in this range because it is not a 100% locked and loaded guarantee that he is on the Bengals to start the season. There's still some personal issues in the air. I put it at 98% that he's the Bengals week one starter. I don't believe that this Super Bowl contending team has any other choice.
That's the biggest compelling argument in that favor, because you always say watch what the team does. So what did they do?
Yeah.
Where's
their
option?
They drafted a running back in the fifth round.
Yeah, fifth round running back while letting Samaje Perine go. And so if the season were to start tomorrow or this Sunday and drafts were right now, Joe Mixon is not in this range. And that's why I like taking advantage of that. The wide receiver that I target here, because he's very, very low, he's the 59th player off the board, is Marquise Hollywood Brown without DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's going to have a phenomenal season. Eventually, Kyler will come back. Best ball, you get the entire season. You're going to get all 18 weeks. So I really like Hollywood Brown and Joe Mixon, which is pretty high in my exposure.
Yeah, I'll throw out Justin Herbert's name. You know, he's in the middle of this bunch of picks. We've talked about him extensively this offseason, but the upside there, you see the quarterbacks go so early in these best ball leagues wanting to have a stud. If you didn't take one, roster construction-wise, here's your chance to get maybe the last upside stud. And then I'll bring up Brandon Ayuk, a player that, you know, earlier this offseason, the muddied water of San Francisco, the receiving game, Brock Purdy, things are positive right now. I think Brandon Ayuk, take it for what you will, hype train out of camp. The reports have been unbelievable. And I think this is the year. I think this is the opportunity. We already had, he's 70 receptions over 1,000 yards last year. I think you're going to get into the 80s on receptions. I think you're going to be in 1,100, 1,200 yard range. And if you get 9, 10 touchdowns on a team that profiles as the NFC East, one of their biggest competitors, I'm starting to rise on him, so I am actively targeting him at this value.
Sure, and I'm assuming that I've taken a bunch of wide receivers early, as that's what I would prefer to do in best ball. And because I'm going for absolute ceiling here, assuming I need a running back, Jason, I think you are totally right. If we know that Joe Mixon is the week one starter, like as we get into August, he'll jump third round. He'll probably jump into the third, maybe even the back of the second. We'll see. But to me, Joe Mixon is, I think his floor is pretty safe, but it would take just some things to swing right in his direction, specifically just a whole bunch of rushing touchdowns for him to make the leap to be elite. Meanwhile, this guy he's clamoring, he's trying to get paid, so he has his own stuff around him, but J.K. Dobbins, of this group of running backs that we have listed, he would surprise me the least if you're like, at the end of the season, the top five running backs are this, and J.K. Dobbins. I think he is that good. I think that
means you have to have 15, 16 touchdowns in his range of outcomes.
I think that he can be like a 12, 1,300 rushing yard guy and then right around the double-digit touchdowns. And he hits breakaway touchdowns all the time, where Mixon will have to get – the team will have to get down to the five, and then he'll have to fall in, where Dobbins can do it from literally anywhere on the field.
With one leg or two.
Yeah. We JK 2L here. Mm-hmm. If we got two legs this year, then he will not be stopped.
It's not the biggest compliment you could pay a guy that he has both of his legs functioning.
Yeah, but he did it with one leg.
Yeah, he had one strong leg, and he was dominating.
Now, if it's JK one leg, that feels like a compliment. Because he's doing something great with less than.
Well, but J.K. two legs is going to be like electric.
Yes. He'll be like his
rookie
year. No
one will stop him.
I mean, okay.
He's got two of them.
Okay. All
two
right.
Strong legs.
Two strong legs. All right. That was Best Ball Breakdown presented by Underdog Fantasy. Get your first deposit matched up to $100 using the code BALLERS. That is going to do it for today's show. We have a mock draft on Saturday, Brooksy.
Oh, yeah.
With some
mayhem?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of the podcast. And since you're hanging around, I want to invite you personally to become part of our thriving fantasy football community. You can get access to exclusive Discord channels, extra episodes, fantasy football tools and resources, and, of course, the personal satisfaction of supporting an independent podcast. You can learn more at jointhefoot.com.